Welcome to the Schmooze with Rabbi Mintz, rabbi at Congregation Beth Israel and co-director of Chabad of Forsyth, Dawson, and Lumpkin with his wife, Chaya. The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at jewishforsyth.org. Now, let's get schmoozing with Rabbi Mintz and his co-host, Tim House, on North Georgia's News Talk, WDUN.
Hey, good morning, folks. Glad you joined us again on the Schmooze. Rabbi Levi Mintz is with us, along with myself, Tim House. Rabbi, how are you today?
Thank God, doing great. Good morning, Tim. How are you doing?
Caffeine shy, but I'm ready for the day.
You know what? Caffeine shy, but we're going to... That's what it is. This is the Schmooze, right? With ideas. With ideas and conversation, we're going to lift each other up, and it's just great to be together with all of our listeners. And I know we have a very exciting and caffeinated show for everyone this morning.
Folks, we'd like to tell you that we're motivated by a profound love for every Jew, and we're spurred by boundless optimism. Congregation Beth Israel is dedicated to building community every day through a dazzling array of programs and services to serve the spiritual and physical needs of all Jews from all walks of life and with unconditional love and acceptance, and even caffeine. Folks, we want you. We need you. Please contact us. We're easy to get a hold of on the web or give us a call. Rabbi, I know we've got a lot to talk about. How are the brick sales today?
The brick sales are doing great, but what's most important is that we are moving forward. We are moving forward, and right now, our architect is working diligently together with the engineer to get all of the paperwork in for the permitting, for the land disturbance permit.
Right.
And we all know that, God willing, when that permit is received, you know what's happening the very next day. The dirt starts to move.
Trees fall, you got the smell of diesel fuel in the air.
Ah, there's nothing like smelling diesel fuel. So this is a very exciting time. And on a design element, yesterday was a massive day, actually, because we were waiting to speak with Rabbi David Shachat. Rabbi David Shachat is one of the greatest rabbis that are alive today. He's over 90 years old. He's a rabbi, you know, the old country rabbi, and brilliant, a real sage. And we were waiting a long time to have a proper conversation for him to look at all of the elements of our sanctuary to make sure that all of the designs that are being created by our amazing design team. I want to give out a shout out to Candace Kalin and Narissa Bonet. They're just really fantastic. Together with Carol Hoffman, all working together as an amazing team, wanting to make sure that it's all kosher, that it's all good, that it all makes sense according to Jewish religious law. And because you really can't go forward without getting these types of things approved. And so we emailed the rabbi, and then, of course, we weren't able to get in touch. I called him. He's older. So, you know, it's hard to get in touch with him, and he's obviously very, very busy, being who he is and his stature and all the people that come to him for questions and for guidance. And to the extent that actually Chaisha's uncle lives there and works in the same synagogue as him. So I called him up and I said, Uncle Moshe, could you please help me? We need your help. Could you please go to Rabbi Shachat? We really need to get this settled. And yesterday he went to the home of the rabbi. And we were able to get everything settled. He looked at the plans, looked at everything from the bima to the ark to the mechitza to everything and all of the design. And it was actually one of the most incredible meetings and conversations over the phone. But the bottom line is that everything is up to standard. Everything is kosher. Everything is good. And the reason why this is so meaningful is because, you know, we're investing as a community. We're investing time, energy, resources, money to build a home for God. And there's nothing more special when you know that in the Jewish tradition, the synagogue space that we're building is on a Jewish perspective, on a religious perspective. It has all of the ingredients. It's being built to be a conduit for a space that the Torah teaches us is what creates a holy space, a space where prayer can be received, a place where Torah can be accepted. And, so the moment that you have that check, that it's kosher, it's good, now we're on our way of genuinely building a holy space. And now, of course, the designers are all excited because now they get to design and make it just beautiful. So it was a big week for the project. And of course, what's special about the project is that we're not allowing the honor to be given to only one person. But we are making sure that the honor of the building of this synagogue is available to everyone to participate. And the way that we're doing that is by selling bricks at a very small price, at $500. You know, the campaign is a $4.8 million project. We've already raised $2.8, thank God. But we want the community to come together and everyone. You know, there are some people that are in a position to give the larger amounts, which are, on a very practical level, very important for us being able to do this debt-free. It's obvious, but we still want every individual to be a part and have the honor. We don't want the honor to be one, two, three, or five people, but it's important that this honor is shared by every single member of our community. So there are 5,000 bricks that were made available for families to come forward and participate, each brick at $500. And there are some bricks that are still available. And I encourage all of our listeners to go to the website, to ourvibrantfuture.com, ourvibrantfuture.com, and make your donation today. Get your brick. Have the honor. Be a part of this process, because obviously it's not going to be available for much longer once all of the bricks are sold. And of course, once the synagogue is built, which will be happening very soon. So now is the time to take action and solidify this honor, this merit for you and for your family, and be a part of this great blessing for generations to come.
Wow, it's a lot. It's a heavy week. Rabbi, have we got any classes or anything going on right now?
It's jam-packed, my friends, jam-packed. There's holiday events, adult education events. We have the Judah graduation coming up in 2 weeks. And the most exciting part of all of this, and by the way, if you want to join any of these amazing programs, just go to the website of the synagogue, jewishforsyth.org, jewishforsyth.org. Get engaged, get involved. What I'm most excited about is that right now, all of the CBI leadership behind the scenes is planning the entire next year calendar.
Oh, wow.
Let me tell you something. If you want to know what Jewish life is going to look like in North Georgia post this COVID era, when everything is going to be opened, let me tell you something. Get ready. Get ready if you got to go to the gym to get ready, if you got to buy clothes to get ready, if you got to work on your breakfast game to get ready. Everyone's got their thing that they have to do to get ready. All I can tell you, Tim, now's the time to get ready, because the rollout of CBI programming after the summer is going to be through the roof. You feel the excitement. This is amazing.
Yeah,
and I can't wait to share with all of our listeners.
You can't even sit still this morning,
I can't even
folks.
Sit. And this is without the caffeine.
Right.
That's what I'm telling you, my friends. This morning is a caffeinated show. And I'm afraid we got to jump to a break. But when we come back, it's just getting better.
Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome.
Now, it's time to ask the rabbi.
All right, Rabbi, we've got an interesting topic that has hit the Ask the Rabbi spot today. I'm going to kind of paraphrase part of it, but it said God instructed Moses to tell the Jewish people that you must not go around as a gossip monger. And what is the positive and negative effects of gossip, and why would God make this instruction to Moses?
It's a very good question, Tim. You know, gossip, on the most basic level, we all understand of why it's a problem. We all understand why it's a problem. The reason why gossip is a problem is because it separates people, right? There's three people that get destroyed when gossip is being spoken about. There's the person that's speaking it. There's the person that's listening to it. And there's the third person that they're speaking about, right? To have that negative energy where all of a sudden one needs to talk about another person, why is that necessary? Why is it necessary for a person to get excited to hear about what someone else is doing in their life? And gossip is not only about speaking bad things about another person. It's just speaking about another person, right? You know, when we discuss meaningful conversations, we all know that the most meaningful way to engage with people is to speak about ideas. That's the most meaningful conversation. The lowest conversation is to speak about other people. What's interesting, though, is that in our culture, there is such excitement in gossip, to the extent there's so many industries that are all about gossip, right? How many shows do we love to watch where the entire show is about what?
Gossip.
It's about
negativity.
Talking about other people, other celebrities, other individuals that have become famous to people. Social media, Instagram, Facebook, so on and so forth. All of these platforms, the most popular of all social media platforms is gossip, are platforms where it's discussing and speaking about other people. So there's no question about it that there's an obsession with gossip. But we all know that it's still not a good thing, even though there's an obsession. Now, what's the reason why it's not good? Now, there's a lot of reasons of why it's not good. But one of the most fundamental reasons of why it's not good is because it separates a society. It separates a nation. And in order for a nation to properly grow and to properly progress, what's important is that there's a sense of unity. The moment we lodge each other against each other, we create fragmentation, we separate, and we're not a united nation. Right? Our strength is always going to be in our unity. So a person says, but who cares? No, there's no such thing, who cares. It's a very true thing. Our strength is in our unity. There's a great historical account of this, by the way, that in the story of the Exodus, there's one time where Moses gets nervous. And Moses wonders that maybe the Jewish people will never be able to be redeemed or leave Egypt. One time that he's nervous about this. What's the time that he was nervous? It's that famous moment where he sees that there's an Egyptian beating up on a Jew, and he declares God's name, and all of a sudden the Egyptian who is beating up the Jew dies. And there were two other Jews that saw this, and they said to Moses, we can't wait to tell Pharaoh about what you just did. And when Moses saw that there were two people ready to gossip, all of a sudden he was worried maybe the Jewish people will never be redeemed. Why was Moses worried about this? Why was it gossip that made Moses worry about the Jews being redeemed? There's a lot of things to worry about of why a nation would never be redeemed from slavery. I mean, there's a lot of psychological problems. You have to look at a person that's a slave for generations. Most people, that's what they know. That's their whole life. That's their whole world. One can make the argument that that would be the greatest hindrance of a nation becoming free people, is that they've been subjugated for generations to slavery and now they have a slave mentality. That's not what Moses was worried about. Moses was worried about that there was gossip between the Jewish people. And the answer is because there was one thing that was critical, was that God said that I'm taking this nation out of Egypt. That was the promise to Abraham, that your family would go to Egypt, they would become enslaved, and then I would take this nation out of Egypt. But I'm only taking out a nation out of Egypt if there's a nation to take out of Egypt. All of a sudden, if there's gossip and there's hating on each other and speaking negatively about each other, all you have are millions of individuals. Millions of individuals is not a nation. The promise was that I would take this nation out of Egypt. You have to then be a unit. You have to be a nation. And so this is why Moses was getting nervous, that according to the promise, the great promise that was given to Abraham, it was that a nation would be taken out of Egypt. But if we're going to have this infighting of talking against each other and gossiping and putting each other down and speaking negatively about each other, what's happening to our unit? We're separating. We're becoming individuals. And there won't be this unit, this nation unit, to be taken out of Egypt. Gossip is something that erodes families. It erodes businesses. It erodes nations. Speaking negatively about each other, we can't trust each other. We put down other people. But when we speak nicely of each other, when we elevate ourselves, that when we come together, we speak about ideas, we become much more refined. Unity is the greatest strength for a family. And unity is the greatest strength for a community. And unity is the greatest strength for any nation. When we are united, the greatest things happen. If you look at every civilization in the history of the world that has eroded, always look at that moment before that nation erodes, and you will find the same thing occurring over and over and over again to those civilizations. It's at that time where there was a lack of unity. It was at that time where there was infighting, where there was gossip amongst each other. It's at that time that those powerful civilizations eroded and broke. And we have to take this seriously. If we want to be a strong nation and move forward, what's critical is that we stay united. Now, I know what you're wondering. How can I stay united with people that I ideologically disagree with? How do I stay united? How do I stay friends with people that I disagree completely with the type of life that they're living. My dear friends, there has been an incredible, incredible essay that was written 150 years ago by Rabbi Shalom Dovber of Lubavitch, the fifth Chabad Rebbe. This entire essay was written exactly on this topic, how to stay in relationships when we disagree on so many core issues. This message in this essay, I think we all could agree that today in our day and age, we need to hear that message. How can we stay a loving community, a loving family, a loving nation, even though we have so many things that disagree with us? And my dear friends, this is just a little bit of an insight, a teaser, that in next year's CBI calendar, this is going to be one of the semesters of adult education of our Jewish book club. And you're going to want to be at that class because we are going to be learning the most incredible tools of how to stay friends, how to stay united, even when we disagree on such fundamental issues. My dear friends, I know we got to jump to a break. We'll be right back.
Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome.
The light, the light, the light, the light, the light, the light.
Rabbi, what's left? You've left us on the edge of the seat again.
We don't want anyone falling off. That's what's important. I think we should start selling seatbelt merch for the schmooze. A seatbelt that you can buy and you can put it at your kitchen table just to make sure that when you're listening to the schmooze, you never fall off.
That's it.
Hey, you know, we'll raise some money for the synagogue. Not a bad idea.
A great idea.
So l'chaim to life, Tim, right? It's
right.
All about infusing life into life. And I want to share with you and all of our listeners, such an incredible message that I think is so important. And if brought in, can absolutely change how we experience life. You know, it's so important to know who we are, where we stand, and what are the important things in life. Let me give you an example. Let me give you a scenario, actually. There's a verse where God tells the Jewish people as follows. I want you to not be like the Egyptians where you lived. We lived in Egypt for 210 years as slaves. And I don't want you to be like the Canaanites where I will bring you. God was essentially telling the Jews that I want your values, I want your morals to be Jewish. I want it to be defined by the Torah, by Judaism. Don't learn like the ways of the Egyptians. Don't learn like the seven nations of Canaan, that you're going to be coming into their land and conquering their land. Be Jewish. What's interesting about the verbiage is that there's so much meaning to hold on to. See, in the beginning, God says, don't be like the Egyptians that you lived with. The reason why this is so interesting is because God told Abraham that his children will come as foreigners to a land, Egypt, and will be there as slaves. God wanted essentially that when we come to Egypt, we came there as strangers. Strangers. But what did the Jews do when they arrived in Egypt? Yes, even though initially they came as strangers, but very quickly they made it their home. They established their lives in Goshen. So much so did they make Egypt their home and the ways of Egypt their ways, that 80% of the Jewish people, when it came the time of the Exodus, did not even want to leave Egypt. To them, Egypt was their home. To them, the Egyptian lifestyle was everything. This was the normal way. Comes along God Almighty and says, don't be like the Egyptians that you lived in. You had to be in Egypt, absolutely. You had to be there. But be there as strangers. And what happened? You forgot who you were. You started to act and live like Egyptians, and you started to call Egypt home. And then the second message is that don't be like the seven nations of Canaan, where I'm going to be bringing you there. What happened when it came to go to the land of Israel? Yet again, 80% of the Jewish people didn't want to go to Israel. To the extent that 12 spies were sent to see the land, to learn and to see what was the best way to conquer the land of Canaan. And 10 out of the 12 spies came and said, no, we can't. We shouldn't go. We should stay here. And all of the men between the ages of 20 and 60 all agreed with the 10 of the spies, to the extent that all of those men between the ages of 20 and 60 died in the desert and never were able to be brought into the land of Israel. So all of a sudden now I'm taking you to where you're supposed to be. I'm taking you to your home. I'm taking you to the land of Israel. And now yet again, what do we find? That 80% of the Jewish people now don't want to go there. And God Almighty now says, don't learn like the ways of the Canaan, the Canaanites, where I am bringing you. I am bringing you because 80% of you don't even want to go. So what do we see? That when we look at our story, we seem to be challenged by knowing who we are and where is home and how we're supposed to live. What values should be intrinsic to us? We had that challenge when it came to Egypt. We had that challenge when it came time to go to Israel. And the question that we all ought to think about is exactly this. Who am I? Who am I? What are my core values? What's home for me? You know, home. Home. Not home like a roof with walls and doors and windows, but home. Home. Where's my space? What's in that space? What do I buy to put into that space? My time. How do I spend my time? My time. My emotions, my intellect, my money. Who's the real me? And how do I live accordingly to the real me? You know, there's a great story. There was a great story where there was a Hasidic man that lived about 150 years ago. And he lived outside of the Hasidic community. But once a year, he would always want to travel to the city of Lubavitch to come and spend time with his Rebbe, with his leader, and to spend time together in the Hasidic brotherhood and sisterhood. So the story is that he used to come every single year, and he used to take off his business clothes, take off the clothes that he would wear in that town that he moved to, where there wasn't a Jewish community over there, but he moved there to make money. He would take off his regular clothes, and he would come to the city when he would visit, and he would put on his Hasidic attire. One year, for whatever reason, he came in his regular clothes that he had in the town that he lived in where he did business. And so when he came and he passed by his Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab looked at him and made a comment. He said, I always knew how you dress in your home city. But I always thought that when you lived in that city, you knew that that wasn't the real you, and you were wearing a costume. But when you came back home, you put on your real clothes. But now I'm worried, because now it seems that the Hasidic attire is your costume, and your real clothes is the clothes that you wear in that town where you do business. Story really brings out this idea of who's the real me? Where is my real home? What are my values? What are my ideals? What parts of me are the things that are pretend? And what are the things about me that is me? And what's great about this message is that every single parent and every single adult and every single child and every single teenager, the greatest thing that we can do for ourselves to infuse life into life is to sit down with a pen and paper and to make that list and to introspect and to think, where is home? Where is my real home? What are my values? What are my ideals? Who am I? And then live my life accordingly, fully there, fully comfortable, and build that established space where I invest my mind, I invest my emotions, I invest my money, I invest my talents, I invest my space, I invest my home, I invest all of the spaces around me to be integrated, to be settled, to be focused in what I truly should be calling home.
Excellent, excellent message, Rabbi. Folks, hate to do it. Gotta take a break for the day, and we'll be back. Y'all be blessed. Rabbi, have a great week. Talk to you soon.
Looking forward, my dear friends, and l'chaim to life. Never forget, always infuse life into life.
The Shmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful Shmooze.
To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at theschmooze@jewishforsife.org.